I think that Hunter Biden is just the beginning, and it's a way to kind of softly, gently let people know that things are going to be worse. You know, it gets them kind of used to the type of information that's going to be coming out. People are seeing what type of things Joe's son was involved in. And there's these illusions that, you know, he was getting money, he was profiting off of it. He was aware of Hunter's cocaine addiction. He was aware of some of these other things, yet he failed to step in there and do anything about it. So, you know, it's kind of preparing that way so that we will, you know that things with Joe are going to be worse.
With the global economy being in shambles and central bankers moving towards a reset, it's never been a better time to protect your wealth by owning precious metals. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com. Tell him Sarah sent you. He promised me he will guarantee you the lowest price anywhere in the country. Remember, email Andy at milesfranklin.com and tell him Sarah sent you. It's never been a better time to protect your future than now. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Jesse Zaboder back to discuss why and how the Hunter Biden disclosure is being released now and how this relates to the deep state system. We also discuss the use of China and biological warfare and how that ties into their strategy, the Luciferian system strategy, and what the heck they're doing right now. She's going to be coming back on a regular basis to discuss, you know, as this ongoing war goes on, what are they doing? What is the strategy? How does it tie into their Luciferian system? She's going to be giving regular updates on that so that we can make some sense as to how this all ties. We're going to tie it to Agenda 2030. I'm going to do the best job I can at really trying to bring information from the best people I can find, trying to make sense of all this so that we can make decisions that can help and protect our family and help the cause. She also stays after for an exclusive for my Patreons and for my new subscription service that's at sarahwestall.tv. We discuss the experiments that she had to endure as a child and what the purpose of those experiments were for. Just gotta let you know, this discussion gets into pretty sensitive information that I cannot air publicly. And again, this is for patrons at patreon.com/Sarah Westall, or for people who are subscribed to my new service at sarahwestall.tv, and you can view it there. It's available on Roku, it's available on Apple TV and Google TV and many other places. Gotta give you a warning though, depending on when you're listening to it. If you're listening to this show right when it was released, those exclusive episodes might not be available for a few more days. It's so new, we're still working on it. Lastly, before I get into this interview, I want to let people know that I have a few more high quality products listed on my website shop that I think people will really like. I have an organic, GMO, pesticide-free, 25-year storable food. The quality is incredible. I know a lot of people are prepping and getting food, but what else is better than having really high quality food that stores for 25 years in case something happens? So that is available on my website. And also I have organic greens infused with vitamin D. So many people are deficient in vitamin D and it's causing a lot of problems. The people getting coronavirus, most of them are deficient in vitamin D. Just doing that solves your problem. So the greens, the organic greens with vitamin D, it really helps build your immune system. I highly recommend C60 and detoxing. But this is a simple treatment that everybody can do to build up your immune system. And for those who are my patrons, the $50 free gift card, if you're a new customer, can be applied to this. So just message me personally on Patreon and I can get that. So let's get into my show with Jesse Zaboder. Hi, Jesse. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. It's good to be back.
We have a lot to talk about, and I think this is really, well, it's obviously really relevant to what's going on. I wanted to talk about why the Hunter Biden stuff is coming out and what that really means and how does it relate to the system or, you know, the brotherhood or whatever we call this Luciferian ugly network that we have So what's going on, do you think?
Well, as part of the system, you know, they have to reveal, I think, in, I would just say, in layers. There's so much graphic, horrific stuff that these individuals have been involved in. I think that Hunter Biden is just the beginning, and it's a way to kind of softly, gently let people know that things are going to be worse. You know, it gets them kind of used to the type of information that's going to be coming out. That's my personal opinion.
Well, because they have just came out that the younger granddaughter, her diary talks about incest, and they have pictures of Hunter with her as well. This is really getting bad. It's just Hunter that's being targeted. It's not Biden. So why Hunter versus the big guy, you know?
Well, we have the illusion. So I believe what they're doing is they're revealing about the children first. And, you know, that way, you know, people are seeing what type of things Joe's son was involved in. And there's these illusions that, you know, he was getting money, he was profiting off of it. He was aware of Hunter's cocaine addiction. He was aware of some of these other things. Yet he failed to step in there and do anything about it. So, you know, it's kind of preparing that way so that we will, you know that things with Joe are going to be worse.
Yeah, because it's obvious that Joe, I mean, well, I've been doing a lot of these interviews, and Joe is up to his neck in some pretty bad stuff. Now, would you say that Joe is, was he part of the system from the time he was little and groomed to be what he's doing today? Or, I mean, you see full blown Illuminati or Luciferian system guy.
I fully believe that it was the case where he was born in, he was programmed and trained for the position they had him, you know, doing as vice president, as well as the international stuff he was engaged in, setting, you know, really you have to classify it as Joe was in charge of an international crime syndicate, overseeing his family in that. One of the things that, you know, I do know is that Obama is now the phoenix of the Satanic Council, and that he took George Soros's position. So with that, how the system works is that, you know, you have kind of a cell group that you're connected with, that you perform rituals with, you're aware of those people's dirty deeds. Your job is to, you know, cover or keep secret their dirty deeds, to help them if they get caught or found out. So what you see happening is, you know, with Obama and Joe working together as president and vice president, the last, you know, term prior to Trump's term, you know, that would indicate to me that they're in that same Illuminati or Brotherhood cell group, because they have to work so closely in conjunction with one another. And you still see even now, you know, that there were some other people who've been pulled into that group with them. You know, so I'd seen the film with Obama talking to Kamala, and they were talking about how much Joe loves spaghetti with sauce and things like that. Well, many of us now know that those are pedophile terms. So, you know, that was a way of Obama was kind of putting it out there, like, you know, for other people in the system, that these were things, topics that were going to come up about Joe. So it is interesting, but I do believe fully that he's was raised in the system and is operating in the system right now.
So does that mean that Hunter Biden was as well? And I mean, because Hunter Biden looks like he might have just been abused and just gone. I mean, he looks like he's really struggling.
Yeah, I would classify him also as a hierarchy child. So like me, you know, he's been trained since a young age. He did experience horrific abuses, but he was trained to do a job. Children that go through that, they are allowed what we call like coping mechanisms or ways of self-sedating. So a lot of times you'll see these kids that, you know, are under their parents are kind of doing important jobs like Joe. And then you see the children like, you know, where they have a drug addiction, they have an alcohol addiction, or some sort of addiction that's helping them to cope with what they've lived through. And then usually, you know, they go through a period in their teens to early 20s where they're living this wild lifestyle. And then as they would, you know, things would kind of plateau out as they aged and they would, you know, return back to the system and be more focused on their job position. So I'm seeing, you know, with Hunter, what's typical of a normal hierarchy kid and what they go through.
Well, I know that Obama's daughters, I assume they're adopted based on the situation. I've heard reports that they are very party animals, if you will. And so that meets that criteria. Why do they let them veer so much into that reckless kind of behavior in that age group?
Part of it is because if they don't, let me think how to put it. It's a way for them to control the programming. Programming only lasts so long, and there are times where the programming begins to break down, and that's when the kids will start to have memories or dreams about the things that they've been involved in that, you know, typically on a day-to-day basis, they only have conscious memory of their cover lives. So they don't remember, you know, the behind the scenes life or the ritual life. But as that programming breaks down, those things will start to surface. And that's when you'll start to see the rebellion, the acting out, because they're kind of making a statement to the system. You know, they don't understand what's going on necessarily, but they don't want to be a part of whatever's going on. They want to do their own thing. So they'll let them to an extent go through those things. A lot of times it provides a cover for when they bring the kid back in and reprogram them. People will think, oh, you know, they had a drug or alcohol addiction, so now they're in drug or alcohol recovery program. They don't connect that these kids are being, you know, reprogrammed, mind controlled through the system. So it gives a, you know, a nice cover story for those type of things so that the general public is really unaware of what's happened.
So the Chinese Communist Party, there were three officials that came out, former officials, with hard drives that showed Hunter Biden doing some, I mean, they're blackmail tapes, essentially. And it's with underage girls. It's very violent. It's, I mean, I don't know all the details. I heard about it from, I saw reports about it. Now, is this typical to be started? I mean, it seems like almost he's being held up. They're blackmailing it. They're bringing the blackmail information out for a reason. It seems like it's twofold, not just to get the public starting to learn about it, but it seems like they're actually using it for blackmail. Could that be the truth? Could that be happening?
That very well could be happening. You know, that's one of the scenarios. The other thing that we've seen happen is that there's individuals in the Chinese government who are declaring themselves separate from the CCP. And those individuals, you know, I think when was it? It was this year, like around, I think, March or April. You had one of those individuals, you know, reading the Chinese constitution, like declaring themselves a federal like government, like the United States, and they were declaring that they were separate from the CCP. And so part of me wonders if this is part of that movement, that those individuals now, you know, they've had the blackmail or been aware of it, and they're making that public in an effort to bring down individuals in the United States who are indirect, you know, directly working with the CCP, and that will give them, you know, I think, a head start on bringing down the individuals in their own government who are involved with the individuals in our government.
Yeah, because this system is everywhere, every country in the world. What we're getting reports is that there are Chinese military building up around our country in the Canadian borders and in Mexican borders and some reservations here. Do you see the system becoming, is this the last stand? I mean, are they going to, if Donald Trump wins, it looks like without really being successful at cheating, it looks like he's going to win, I think, based on, you know, crowds and everything else. So if he wins, is this their last stand to just use the Chinese government or Chinese military to do some kind of invasion along with a military coup internal to our country?
I don't believe it's their last stand. From what I know of them, you know, they always have more than one nefarious plan in their pocket. So I would say it's probably one of the ways that they're threatening and intimidating. I always keep in mind that whatever I'm seeing, that usually that's a distraction and intimidation. So you have to look elsewhere. You have to think, what other ways would they strike? You know, one of the things that we're aware of is that, you know, there are biochemical weapons already in place inside the United States. So, you know, that would be more my concern, is that they would release those things which would contain, you know, worse diseases or plagues than, you know, COVID, and that would be the way that they would do, you know, get rid of some of the populace, or, you know, a way for them to gain more control by separating people, you know, out in society, being able to say, you know, you refuse to wear a mask, you're a risk to the rest of us, so you have to be detained in a concentration camp.
Which is what we're seeing in Canada. Has Canada completely fallen with Trudeau being in charge? It seems like Canada has completely fallen to the system.
That is, it's unclear at this moment where Canada stands. From what I'm hearing, you know, it sounds like the good guys have control over a lot of the nations and they're working together. That's what I'm hearing. So as far as I know, we haven't lost Canada or control of that area.
Not yet. Well, what about Mexico? Because Mexico, the drug cartel, from what I understand, the Chinese government is pretty tied into the drug cartels and have a lot of control over that. And they are not happy with the fact that the Mexican president is actually aligning with Donald Trump. And there are troops coming up from South America and into Mexico, and they're preparing down at the southern border as well. What have you heard about Mexico?
I haven't heard too much about Mexico other than the same things, that there are Chinese troops there as well as in Canada that are, you know, posing as, you know, Mexican soldiers or things like that. So, you know, my understanding is that they're not directly showing themselves as CCP soldiers. But that's about what I've heard as well.
Okay, so we don't know yet. We just know maybe that this is a backup plan or something else. I have also heard that they are thinking about a biological weapon. Was that code word for Biden when he said it's going to be a dark winter?
I fully believe that was. That was in direct reference to a biochemical attack they attempted in 2001 that dealt with the smallpox and the release of that in the United States. So I fully believe that that was a direct threat from him. At the same time, we saw, you know, Trump answered him back and said, no, it's not going to be a cold, dark winter. So I believe that Trump was directly addressing that he understood what Biden was threatening.
How could you stop it? If they wanted to release it, how do we stop it?
Well, several of us, you know, we've been working kind of on a spiritual level through prayer. The other thing that I've done is, you know, made known to individuals who are within our government where the locations of the ones that I'm aware of are underground, you know, and how those operate, what accelerates them. So I believe that as they've been going through the tunnel systems, trying to rescue children, that's one of the things also that they're looking for, those hidden biochemical missiles that are underground, and you know, removing access for those to be released and stuff. So I believe it's already been in the works.
Do you think that this war, I mean, because we're really at war right now, but the American people in general don't even realize we're at war. At what point, or if ever, will they learn that this is really a war? I mean, I don't know if they're going to know it unless it's actually military troops marching around the country. You know, will they ever be made aware that we're at war?
I believe we will. I believe that the Illuminati is going to bring it to the surface. You know, as Trump and his teams have been going through those underground areas, we've seen earthquakes, you know, which means that I believe they were blowing up tunnel accesses, entrances and exits. So as they do that, it's, you know, decreasing the areas where these individuals can hide or operate underground. So as that happens, as more and more areas have gotten closed off, they're going to be forced to the surface and forced to really show their hand above ground. So I think at that point, you know, which I believe is, we're literally, you know, around the turn, I think that we're going to start seeing that, and they're going to make the war very upfront and personal.
You know, I've talked to Wayne Jett, who's been studying this for decades, and he wrote a book on these guys. He believes that we are at the best point in history to take the cabal down, and more so than we've been in over 100 years. And he's the most optimistic he's been. Do you believe we are winning the war, or are we, I mean, are we weakening them, or is it, we're at least in a fight? I mean, where do you see us as far as the power struggle goes?
Yeah, well, the first thing is that, you know, when Trump came into office, he really, you know, by him putting into place the immigration changes and, you know, getting everybody who is not a U.S. citizen out of our country, that right there really impacted the Illuminati's lower rung. These were the people who, you know, were running the majority of the low-level prostitution and trafficking rings, as well as the drug rings. So by removing them, he pretty much swept the lower level all out of our country. And then now they're at what I would say is the end of attacking that middle level of this group. And, you know, you just see the very top mid-level people left, like Biden and HRC and Obama. You know, we've seen a lot of justice.gov has put up a lot of the local government people, as well as some of the state officials who have been arrested for crimes against children. So, you know, we see them, they're working at that middle level, and all that's left is that very top level. But we've even heard of some of those things, you know, like the Dutch bank and or the German bank, and all those, you know, have really been impacted. They've started hitting the big businesses. We're seeing stuff happen with Twitter, Google, Facebook, even though it hasn't fully come to a halt, like we know that they're at war with those individuals right now. So I think that we're going to really see a big shift here in the next couple weeks. And, you know, for me, I mean, I know the higher level people, and they are just they've been laying low this entire time. You know, they have not been able to operate like they're supposed to. So I think that it's had a huge impact on the system. And I do see that, you know, things have not been able to go like they wanted. Even all the way back to last October, you know, they were not able to have their Halloween rituals. usually if they can't have them outside, they will go underground or inside with them. And what happened last year was that those rituals were canceled altogether. There weren't any that I heard of that I could directly pin in the United States or internationally. So, you know, as far as I knew, those and the Christmas rituals, all those were completely canceled. So I think that there's been a huge shift. And, you know, I've been watching this year. I'm seeing, you know, I think because they're fighting to have those things. So we are hearing of some of the rituals and where they're going to have them. And, you know, they're brazenly stepping forward to do that right in front of our faces. But I think that we are winning the war. So,
well, it's hard to see us winning the war when people are masking everywhere and that the media is still heavily controlled. Why has the media been so intact? But I mean, other than being exposed for who they are right now, it's so obvious, they're still in place. Why is that left standing?
I think it has to do with the narrative and knowing what your enemy's doing. Basically, the media is a communication channel for the Illuminati. So by leaving that intact, you know, they're still getting up every morning at 4 a.m., getting their messages of what they need to, you know, be making the public believe. So that kind of gives us an idea of, you know, what narrative they're pushing, what agenda, you know, what they're really up to and doing. So I think it's been left because, you know, because of its being a communication channel. At the same time, I believe that that's the strongest way that, you know, as Trump and those guys reveal really the media's role in all of this, I think that, you know, that's going to be the biggest way that the American people wake up as to what has been happening.
There's still quite a bit of people who are completely blind and they believe what the media is saying. It's almost, it's incredible that there's still even people that believe it, but there are. I don't know if those people will ever be able to handle the truth, because if they can't now, will they later? What do you think will happen? I mean, this is a decent majority. I mean, not majority, but a decent percentage of the populace. What do you think will happen to this populace as they start to learn? Because they're very, very controlled. You know, they're up to their eyeballs in manipulation.
Yeah. You know, I've seen a kind of a violent reaction or attitude building up in these individuals where, you know, literally they just outright call everything that is truth or fact a lie or a conspiracy.
Yes.
You know, it's not the extent of just being ignorant. Like, they literally are violently opposed to accepting truth or fact. And, you know, it's kind of a scary situation, because with these people, you know, and that amount of rage, you can't really dig that it's going to be, I'm expecting a violent reaction. Some of the things that I've literally seen coming down the pipeline, and this was circulating to the local government individuals who were Democratic, and basically it was from, I can't say the name of who it was from, but it was from higher level people, and basically that Hillary had been gracious enough because of Trump's delusions to allow him to have this time to play out his delusion as president, and that really she had won, but because of his delusion, they allowed him the grace to, you know, act like he was president, because, you know, they didn't know or they were concerned about what would happen if they just, you know, pushed the truth on him. And so they were preparing people, you know, that they were not going to allow this to happen the next term, that they would have to forcefully remove him if he continued with this delusion that he won the presidency again. And so you know, it's kind of scary that this is what is circulating in our government, and these individuals are believing that, you know, and they're
I know.
We're delusional.
Well, how can they, I mean, they're delusional because they'll believe anything at this point, because there's no way they would allow Trump to be the sitting president if he didn't win. It's just like, there is no way. And so it's just so, it's so bizarre.
I mean, you think of everything he has done, and it was like, if that were the case, you know, there's no way they would have let him pass all the executive orders did and make all the changes he did, especially with individuals' roles in the, you know, government, especially with the, you know, the judicial Supreme Court justices he appointed. Like, there's no way they would have let that if that was true. But people don't think, you know, they don't think critically about those things. You know, they seriously get a piece of paper, they're told what the narrative is, and that's the narrative they stand by.
Do you believe that, I mean, because obviously this, the media needs to go down. I mean, you can't have a media like this. It's just so obvious, because it's manipulating those people, and they're going to be violent in their reaction. At some point, we need that media to change out so we can get those people to calm down and learn. I'm almost slow. I don't know. It's a psychological thing of how do we slowly get these people to not be violent, or not even slowly. We have to calm them down quickly. But the only way that's going to calm down, you know, there's 30-40% of the population that's like that, is to get this media out of the way. So there's a double-edged sword here as far as having the code open, having that communication lines open, and also creating this mob mentality that we have going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. You know, if they get them out of the way too early, they lose their main connection, you know, with the hierarchy, people who are behind the scenes, that they don't yet know who those individuals are, because the media is the direct interface between those hierarchy people. So, you know, they lose those communication channels. On the other hand, if they don't, then this media is still causing havoc and social disturbance with the lies and the disinformation that they're feeding public who choose to believe that, because they're not, you know, they're so used to just believing whatever these so-called specialists say, you know, versus themselves or researching or digging into it.
And they won't listen to people like me. You know, I'm a complete conspiracy theorist, and anybody else like me is a conspiracy theorist, and they're doing everything they can to silence us. So it's frustrating, although I'm not, it doesn't bother me. I have a thick enough skin now, but it's, you know that it's going on. We have more and more people growing and actually watching us now, because we are the news, but so many of us have been canceled. So they still have power over canceling us who can get the information out to the people, at least more of the information than they've ever had.
Yeah. It, you know, and that's, you know, one of our strategies of attack right now is to really hit that information pipeline. So, you know, things that these individuals, that the specialists have been propagating for years and years, those are the things that we're trying to, you know, bring to light, that, you know, things like that, you know, MIT, Stanford Research Institute, some of these universities that, or even, you know, John Hopkins Mayo Clinic, these are the places that these people have looked to as their specialists for information. So it's like, whatever these people say, it has to be true, because they're the scientific minded ones, you know, they're the brilliant geniuses, and, you know, they know the truth. So what we need to show individuals is that, no, these people, you know, in fact, they are not telling you the truth, that these are the individuals they're using to feed you this narrative of what they want you to believe. And, you know, these people are involved. They're part of the system. They're just doing their job, and their job is making you a slave to the system. So it's bringing some of those things to light. You know, like for me, one of the things I'm working on is that, you know, MIT and Stanford Research Institute were other names for branches of the Tavistock Institute, which that was, you know, right over in the UK. It was over in Hampstead, which was a huge satanic ritual area. Tavistock was used to cover up satanic ritual abuse throughout the centuries through many countries, and they were brought over here, and you know, their name was changed, but they came over with Project Paperclip. It was the same German scientists, you know, who supposedly were supposed to be convicted of crimes for the horrific things they were doing in Germany, and instead they were brought over here, given you know, very prestigious jobs, positions, and the means where they could continue their experiments, but on American people instead of Jewish or British people.
Yeah, it's incredible. And in fact, that's a good segue into what else I wanted to talk about today. You're working on reversing legislation that went in I think 1948, I'm not sure, maybe it was 46. You can correct me. And what year was it?
1947.
But this allows them, and you got to explain who them are, to do experiments on children. So can you talk about this legislation and what the heck it is and what has been going on for so long in our country that nobody knows about?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, it really does segue into what I was just talking about. So what happened was that, you know, after World War II, basically, the American people and people around the world were lied to. You know, they were told that Hitler died. They were told that all of, you know, his major scientists or individuals who'd been performing experiments, you know, were taken care of, either executed or, you know, were serving lifelong sentences in prison. In fact, what happened was that they literally brought them over. Many of these people, they hid in prestigious positions in America, you know, through the universities, through the medical system, so like Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic, or they hid them in the Catholic churches as priests or bishops or cardinals. And so what that did was it allowed the system then to continue their programs of operation over here in the United States. So, you know, that all happened like just the few years prior, so 1946, and then within a year later, you can see that these, you know, like the Stanford Research Institute, MIT, all these different psychological institutes started up, the Aspen Institute. All of those were branches of Tavistock, and people can research Tavistock to find out a little bit more about that. But it was run as high-level psychologists who worked on mental health and mind control in the UK. And their main avenue of controlling individuals, you know, they experimented to find out which avenue was best. So kind of in the 1940s to 1960s, in these government projects and programs, they started using drugs. And the particular act, or two acts, were the National Security Act and the Patriot Act. And both of those allowed the government to try things that they say will promote the health or give better, I forget exactly how it words it, but it's like, it's to make the soldiers or the military people able to serve better. So they can try whatever things they want to try that they feel will make these people serve better. So with that, though, what most individuals didn't know is, you know, in their reporting, they had to set up several things, you know, because the government has to report the things that they're doing, not only to receive funding, but they also have to do it for accountability. So what they did was they set up a secret reporting organization called Transformation Project. So this is a headquarters that keeps all the records of the experiments and projects, yet hidden name. So people don't even know that this Transformation Project place exists, but they keep all the records for all of these nefarious experiments and projects, and it's located in San Francisco, California. And so that was the first thing Tavistock did. And then they split their name, you know, to the Aspen Foundation, to MIT, to Stanford Research Institute, and then it goes on and on. Like, they split themselves into so many different names, so people didn't know that it was all under Tavistock. And so then they worked, you had Nazis, like one of the ones I particularly was affected by was Michael Karkok. And he was the Ukrainian Legion of Defense leader for Hitler. And he, like, it was taught to me from him that he was John Brennan and Michael Aquino's main teacher. So when he came over, they were under him, and he taught them how to split the programs for the government. So one was in charge of more of the defense projects. The other one oversaw the central intelligence projects, but they worked in conjunction with each other. So, you know, that's how he split things up. One worked more in the West, the other worked more in the East, and oversaw those departments of the programs. Now, how they hid children being involved in these experiments is that when they wrote up their reports, they would use the word potential. And that was the word that was their coded word for child. As you read, like, they've released some of the experiments now, like Star Wars Now. And if you read that, you'll see that word potential written in there quite a bit. But most people just reading it would have no clue that that means there was a child involved in the experiment. So what I'm trying to do is, you know, really inform people in our government about this, and having them reread these experiments and say, hey, you know, first from the 1940s to the late or even early 1970s, you know, they were using children in experiments. They were giving those children drugs like LSD or adrenochrome to heighten their spiritual gifts so that they could use them in these projects. They literally were using children as weapons. You have individuals such as Kathy O'Brien, Fiona Barnett, and many others who have come forward and said, you know, talked about this, that they were part of these experiments, and it included drugs, it included shock therapy. They, you know, their first round, they would split the mind so that there were different personalities. Each personality had a different job, and they could call up or access, you know, those personalities when they had a job that they wanted that personality to do. So in a way, it kind of made, you know, each individual child was almost like three to however many workers for the government. But the child, you know, their conscious mind, they had no clue that they could even do all these other things, or, you know, when they got called up, they had no memory of it. When, you know, when those individuals started to reach age 35 to mid 40s, the programs would start to break down. They would start to have memories coming forward. And, you know, they would start consciously remembering the things that they were involved in. The early individuals that, you know, who were in this, they then would try to reprogram. But eventually, you know, there was only so many times they could reprogram before the person mentally broke and couldn't be programmed anymore. And so to fix that problem, they set up programs for mental health to work with these survivors that were mentally broken. So they had a way to control information. So these people were not sharing the full extent of everything they were remembering or aware of. So, you know, that just brought more drugs into the picture. You know, a lot of these people, they did sedate or they would put into psychological hospitals. You know, a lot of those facilities were either owned by the state or through the Catholic churches. So it was all a way to control these survivors or victims of these experimental crimes and projects. You know, they would just stick him in a place and say that person.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't want you to lose your thought here, but my understanding is that the process now to split the mind and to do all these nefarious activities, to create these soldiers where they have different, is a lot better now. They figured it out where it's much harder to unprogram somebody to heal and they don't break down as much. Is that true?
Oh, you cut out there just a little bit. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I was saying that the process is much better now. And so I've heard it is, and it's they don't break down as much and it's really hard to unprogram them. Is it true?
Yeah, right. So they went from using drugs and mind control methods that were outside of the mind to basically doing what they call mind reconstruction. So with that, they changed the person's main mind constructs, you know, where they're able to control or direct them through what the person believes. It's kind of hard to explain that, but, you know, it's kind of, it changes your core beliefs. And so you think that you're doing stuff because you want to, because it's what you view as best. So then, you know, later if somebody's trying to get out or they're trying to deprogram them, it's really hard because it goes to the core of your moral, your ethical, you know, your personal values and belief system. So that's how they found a way to restructure the mind control programs. Aquino was big in that. If people can get a of his book, Mind Wars, he basically step by step talks about how they did it and what they're doing now. And that was started in the 1980s, which was the time that I was there. So that's when they started testing this new program, was through the 1980s and early operation.
So what are you specifically doing trying to change this legislation? Because that is the heart of trying to break it down and not allow, stop the supply, you know, stop the at the source.
Right. So I've come forward and, you know, spoken about Michael Karkok and his specific involvement, including John Brennan and Aquino. One of the things that I've brought out is how they, you know, they used adrenochrome. It wasn't just that they used this drug on me or forced it on me, but, you know, I observed them procuring it, which meant, you know, they were harvesting it themselves, you know, and I went through this period of testing where, you know, through that process. So, you know, I'm bringing those things to light and, you know, naming places, dates when they did those things so that, you know, the government can then look and say, hey, where was Brennan, you know, 1984 during these months, you know, so they can see that they were at the places where I claim that this stuff happened. And then, you know, bringing that forward. So right now I'm working with an individual, we've made that known to the senators. We're starting also to send out that information to the individuals in Congress. And we're asking for a meeting. We're asking to be heard so that we can bring all of the, you know, not just my story, but the other survivors who've experienced this, you know, that we can bring our stories forward. I've made several official requests to Trump himself in written form, requesting that they release the pictures of me and the other children that were in these experiments. And I've specifically have named the experiments I was in, and said, please release the pictures to the public from these experiments from, you know, 1981 to 1987. And so those are some of the things I've done in this, is specifically requesting those things.
With knowing that Congress is themselves so blackmailed, and many of them are in the system, how are you going to get Congress to act on this? And to, I mean, how do we know, you know, I mean, how does that become fruitful?
Yeah, we've been approaching those that we know are on our side and who want to stop the crimes that are happening to children. You know, so they're getting the information about the acts of 1947 and how those are enabling individuals to make laws that allow the abuse to continue for children and better, or the military people who serve. You know, we've explained the methods, we testimonies of individuals who have come forward and explained their story, what their experience was. And then, you know, we just are directly requesting, you know, will you fight to let our voices be heard at this level in the House or, you know, at the Senate meetings? Let us come forward and join us in the fight that, you know, we're demanding that these things be removed. There's the level where, you know, only the very, very top people are aware. So that's the level that we're requesting, saying, you know, for these experiments, these are the names, and we want our pictures released to the public.
Well, that's great. I'm just glad you're fighting.
So, and then, you know, we've come forward with our story. So, yeah, so we have individuals like Good Dog David Zublik, Jeff Ramsberger with Right on Radio. You know, we've been bringing on the individuals who have these testimonies. We've been recording those. And then those are going as, you know, evidence to the people in our government that we're trying to get to work with us to have our voices heard.
Well, that is great. I'm glad that you're systematically going after it, because that's what we have to do. We can't give up. Where can people get hold of you? And will you stick after for a part of, to continue this operation, or this conversation on my new .tv, sarahwestall.tv channel?
Yes, I missed the first part of that. what you were saying.
Where can people get hold of you?
The best way is through illuminatethedarkness.com. That's my website. So you're able to email me on there. Otherwise, on Twitter, it would be under my name, at Sabota Jesse, and that's CZEBOTAR, and then Jesse, JESSIE.
And you have a book out too, right?
Yes, that just came out this past week. So my book, His Kingdom Comes in Power, The Battle, just came out on Amazon, and it's also available on Kindle.
Excellent. And can they get the link? They just go to Amazon. I can put the link below in the show notes, and they can also get it on your website, correct?
Yes, correct. It's definitely on the website, and I will send you those links so you can put those in the show.
Okay, thank you so much, Jesse, and stick around for the sarahwestall.tv episode.